Hello. We are beginning a new series of house groups at our church, and house groups are a wonderful opportunity to get to know other people in the congregation better and a great way to grow in our faith. This year, we will be studying portions of the book of Acts and looking at how the Holy Spirit was at work in the early church, and there are a lot of connections to our church and what we're experiencing in this season. So I think you'll learn a lot and enjoy that. And we always take some time in house groups to share our own stories with each other, in particular how our lives connect with the scripture that we are looking at that month. House groups meet once a month, so it's doable for so many of us who are busy. You can do a once a month house group. And the house groups are co-led by two, sometimes three people. And this year we're having four different house groups. And so if I could have the house group leaders who are here, if you could please stand, that would be great, because they will be in the Hope Room after the service and would be very eager and happy to connect with you if you are interested in a house group or want to know more information about when it's starting. Thank you. So these are people you can be looking for to ask about house groups. The other thing is, after the service, I will start posting this list. It's 2 pages, and it lists all 4 house groups. And the way that we have arranged house groups this year, we always try to have a good mix of people so that you are with some people you know, but you're also having a chance to get to know people you don't know in the church. And so this year we've based it on the deacon care groups, which, for those of you that don't know what a deacon care group is, everyone who's a member of the church or a regular attender has a deacon who is assigned to look out for you and make sure you're connected in the church or if there are any care needs that you have. And they're basically arranged alphabetically. So it's not rocket science. So anyway, so if your name is not on this list, please see me if you would like to be in a house group, because we would love to see you be a part of one, and anyone can be a part of a house group. And the house groups are meeting on different days of the week. So there are some that are meeting on a weeknight and some that are meeting on a Saturday or a Sunday. And so if you are assigned to a house group and it's a time that you cannot meet, please let me know and we'd be happy to work with you to find a house group that does work for you. So don't, you know, cross yourself off the list if the time doesn't work for you, okay? And I think, am I forgetting anything? Any of you? Okay. All right. So we're starting this month. So I think the first house group is meeting it's this coming Saturday. Yeah. So the one at the Ajumang's house that Brooke and Jill Moles and Gladys Oye and her daughter Angelina are going to be the leadership team for that group, and so if you're in that group, yours is coming up really soon. So hope you check the list in the Hope Room, and your co-leaders will be in touch with you too.
And I think we'll try to, this week, attach the list to the most up-to-date list that we have to the Providence publicist so that you can check it that way as well. Any other announcements this morning? Oh, Gordon.
The college fellowship normally have their brunches on the first Sunday of the month. Obviously, this Sunday is a little busy, and next Sunday is the Columbus Day weekend, so we'll be having the first brunch the weekend after that. We're also looking for families or other interested people to sign up to host or co-host those brunches, so there'll be a sign-up sheet in the Hope Room where you can find myself or Danielle afterwards. Thank you.
Let us prepare to worship God. please join with me in the responsive call to worship? What can compare to the gift of Christ's grace? Everything else we regard as nothing. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord is our rock and redeemer. Let us stand as we join together in singing with the worship band, "Here I Am to Worship." With everlasting love, I have compassion on you, says the Lord our Redeemer. Confident of that grace, let us draw close to God in prayer, first in silence, then confessing together. Together we pray. Sovereign God, we confess that we continue to turn you away, You are the ones who have saved us, but we make false gods for ourselves. You are the one who has called us, but we make excuses and fail to answer. Forgive us, merciful God, so that we may return to your fold and rejoice in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lamb upon the throne. Amen. Our righteousness is found in Christ alone, a gift of God by faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and sing our praise. This is the time that we do share joys and concerns with one another, and I'm going to ask Dan to run the microphone for us so that Pastor Siobhan can see how that works. We would like to welcome and recognize also Pastor Siobhan's family, Kirk and Soraya, if they would please stand up so that people know who you are. I think you can tell how delighted I am they're here.
Are there joys and concerns this morning? My daughter-in-law, Deborah, spent her birthday in the hospital yesterday, and she has a mysterious blood clotting disorder. She's also having trouble getting financial assistance. She's really unable to go back to work.
I'd like prayers this week for the meeting of Presbytery's Committee on Ministry, which meets on Wednesday. I also have great joy and thanks to Dan Blackford and Lee Vonderbaan for all their work in helping me transport the boxes from one apartment to another. Many, many thanks.
Our son Todd is doing well. I know, he had his therapeutic dose of the iodine treatment for his thyroid cancer, and it seems to have gone very well. He's we're going to see him this afternoon because now he's no longer radioactive and he can go out and be with people. And he feels good. He's going to go to work Monday. So, thanks be to God.
I will be traveling next weekend to go visit my grandparents in Western New York for our annual Christmas in October gathering before they go to Florida. So prayers for safe travels, also continued prayers for my grandma's health. And I also, thinking about this church, you all are my church family, and thinking of Glenn and Nancy today as they're in Mexico now, I think. So just continued prayers for Glenn and Nancy as they could start their ministry down in Mexico.
I want to express gratitude to God for a visit of our friend Monica Kagume from Kenya. She's the wife of the reverend and moderator from Kenya, and was also the school principal of the school that I taught in for many years. So we are very grateful that she's here visiting with us for the month. Monica.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My name is Monica Kagume. I am saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is a personal savior. For 48 years now, I have known Jesus as our Lord. And I lost my husband last year. He was Reverend Michael Kagume, Presbyterian pastor. I am a church elder in Kenya, Nyeri Presbytery, and I have come to visit America. I had come to preach at Great Commission, a Presbyterian church at Seattle, and then I came to visit the Muchiris here. They are my friends, and I'm happy to be in your church. I'll be here until the 1st of October, so God bless you.
Special prayers, one for my cousin-in-law, who leaves today for Atlanta to train with the CDC. He's going to Liberia.
What is his name again?
Sandy is
Sandy?
His name, yes. To help with what's going on there. I'm also asking for prayers for my daughter, who just got engaged and prepared for marriage. Thank you.
I would like to ask prayers for my friend Judith. His 28-year-old son had an accident in Boston last night and died. And just before I entered the building, I had a phone call that she herself has been rushed into the, I think, Rhode Island Hospital. She just passed out. So please pray for the family.
Please continue prayer for my mother-in-law, Camila. Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, our God, you have been our dwelling place for all generations. We give thanks that you never forsake your people, that you gather your people from north and south and east and west to be in community and worship with you. Guide our world, O God, into your perfect will for peace, for justice, for healing, and the well-being of all your people. Help us as your people to stay attuned to the needs around us. We pray for peace in all places, on the streets here to the Middle East, and for all who would work toward true peace. We pray for those who struggle with life's day to day, and particularly we lift up the people of West Africa combating the Ebola virus, particularly Sandy as he travels to Liberia. We remember Zach Sharp, elder of this congregation, serving in the government there as well. We pray, O Lord, that you would bring your strength and your healing power to bear in all of those places in our world that need that. We pray for those in our midst who need your healing touch in body, mind, and spirit, those named and unnamed this morning. We lift up to you in thanksgiving the healing for Todd, the perseverance of this time, the celebration of enjoying day by day. We lift to you this day Deborah, Jenny's grandmother, Camilla, in their continued needs for healing. We pray for strength for the journey for those who grieve, known and unknown to us, but particularly this day for Judy and her family. We pray for all those who are in transition in their lives. We pray, we hope, for a joyous transition for Pastor Siobhan and her family as they prepare in this time. We pray for our Committee on Ministry in this presbytery as it works through and facilitates relationships in ministry throughout this region. We give thanks for Judy's move in the wake of Walter's death, for the support of this community in that time. We give thanks for opportunities to travel and be with family, for those times are precious. And we ask your blessing on Elder Jenny as she travels next weekend with her family. And for Glenn and Nancy and their time answering the call to ministry in Mexico. We praise you for people who come to enrich our lives in times of transition. For Monica from Kenya visiting with the Mucheris. Help us, O God, always to be witnesses to your saving grace as we thank you for the blessings of our lives, for Siobhan's answer to this call in this time and place, for the diligent and prayerful work of our search committee. We thank you for times ahead as we anticipate the fellowship, the learning, and the sharing, and the deepening of relationships through house groups, and the giftedness of Kathy's ministry in our midst for that. We give thanks for Rolf's newest grandson, Henry, born to David, his son David, on Friday, and for the blessing of engagement, even as we pray for the hard times of life. Make us ever your disciples, O God, grounded in love, empowered by grace, set free to live as you call each and every one of us through the power of the Christ who has gathered people to this congregation for 25, for 50 years, and continues to be in our midst still. We pray in that power and in that love the prayer our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our children, ages 3 through 3rd grade, are excused to go downstairs if they would like to be in childcare with Kevin and Hilda, with many thanks. And we will see you later at the end of this worship service as you lead us in the closing hymn this morning.
Good morning. So today's first scripture reading is from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out of a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Our second reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "They will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I will tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The word of God for the people of God.
It is a blessing to be with you this morning. My heart is overjoyed. Let us now prepare to hear and partake and get into this quite difficult word. I have to be honest, when I saw that these were the lectionary texts, I was like, really, God? On this day? Bloodshed? Really? Okay. But after sitting with this text, these two texts, I see why for this day. Join me now as we pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this day eagerly joining with our brothers and sisters from every corner of your word to eat and drink at your table, to be nourished by the bread of life, which is your word and your word made flesh. May we have ears and heart like fertile soil cleared of the briars and thistles of distractions, ready to receive the seed of your righteous calling and primed to produce acts of justice and peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Like I said, it is a blessing to be with you this morning. World Communion Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays on the church calendar. It, along with Pentecost, are the days in which the majority of the Christian community takes intentional global perspectives. Amen. It is a day in which we name and claim our identity within the family of Christ worldwide. We gather to celebrate the self-emptying love that unites us as we participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion, a visible, touchable sign of an invisible saving grace. And the beauty of both of our lectionary scriptures on this World Communion Sunday is that they are grounded, no pun intended, in the ground, in the soil, in the earth, in the Adama of the Old Testament, that stuff that humanity is made of in Genesis, that God blows into. And not only are they both connected to the soil, but to agriculture in general, and therefore connects to our primal and universal needs to be fed from the soil. The truth is, something that connects us all is that we all must eat. Amen. In recent years, we become more aware of how agriculture and the table and the preparations for our meals matter, and how our agricultural practices affect how we live our lives both globally and locally in community, socioeconomically with questions around migrant workers and food deserts, and environmentally, as we look at issues around genetically modified organisms, those GMOs that are so scary, and chemical pesticides and how they affect our bodies. And as aware and conscious Christians, this can and should inform how we live together and how we gather around this table as a community at communion. The prophet Isaiah used the agricultural image of a vineyard to inform and enrich the Hebrew people's understanding of community. At its best, community is like a lush vineyard, a place of growth, nurture, nourishing, and a certain joy, like the beauty and the taste of a sweet grape, that delicious fruit that thousands of years later we still enjoy from our youngest to our oldest. Amen? Community should be a flourishing vineyard. And despite the pervasive myth of scarcity, God provides enough that we all could flourish. In our text, this is metaphorically expressed by the work that God has done in preparation for the vineyard. Isaiah writes, he dug it out and he cleared it of stones and he planted it with choice vines and he built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewn out a wine vat in it. He expected to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. God provides what we need, but in our brokenness, we often fall short of trusting God's providence, and that affects how we live with each other. Since the beginning of time, Cain and Abel show that there are struggles with living together, and it's hard for humanity at times to honor and support our brothers and, by extension, our sisters, choosing instead in our sinful state to be threatened by other jealousies that lead to mistreatment and violence towards those. And unfortunately, this has continued throughout the ages. Amen. This is the disappointing wildness referred to in verse 4, where God speaks and said, "What more? What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done when I expected grapes? Why did it yield wild grapes?" This wildness is a reflection of the internal deformity that happens in broken community. It has some of the traits externally of a grape, but it's not quite what it needs to be. And it doesn't quite do what it should do. Wild grapes, or as it is also translated in the Hebrew, rotten grapes, well, they lack in every way. They are fewer, smaller, and decaying. These grapes are offensive to the tongue because of their sourness, and they are offensive to the eyes and the nose because they grossly just hang on the vine without purpose. A vineyard of wild, rotten grapes that reeks of death is not what God has for us, church. Amen? Amen. And to be clear, God is not having it. God will not support this rotten and wild state of affairs. In verses 5 and 6, God declares that there will be a removal of the hedge of protection. No longer will they be a watchtower of safety or the nurture of tending the garden so that it may be overgrown with uncomfortable briars and thorns. And God will go so far as to stop the rain. This rottenness, this wildness will be not nurtured by the one who desires wholeness and healing for us in community. This rottenness, this wildness is the injustice and the violence for which humanity too often succumbs. This rottenness, this wildness is not who God calls us to be. Verse 7 says it clearly. God expected justice but saw bloodshed. Righteousness but a cry. And what we know is that God is a God of justice, and the cries of the innocent and the least of these do not go unheard. When we look around our world today, there is so much violence and so much injustice, so much rottenness and so much wildness, it can be debilitating. It can be overwhelming. The daily images of war-torn lands where bombs are being dropped by drones to environmentally, governmentally enforced laws that support the mistreatment of the least of these, to intentional international disparities of health care and education, to reports of beheadings with co-workers, to images of domestic violence caught on elevator surveillance tapes, to battles internally, too often deadly, for self-acceptance and love. It can be too much for me, and I'm guessing it can be too much for you as well. Amen? Amen. It is the desire to be the vineyard that God enables us to be, and with the question of what do we do in light of the rottenness and wildness of our global communities and our local communities, that we turn to our gospel text. So far in Matthew, Jesus has been in a bit of a debate with the religious leaders of the day. They are not too happy that this no-name guy with his band of no-name friends from Plain Jane Galilee are upsetting the power dynamics. They are setting those captivated by limiting rules and regulations free. Free to be healed. Free to have hope. Free to find faith in Jesus Christ. So once again, in the sight of the chief priests and the Pharisees, Jesus teaches a lesson using a parable, an illustrative story. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug it and built a watchtower, and he leased it to a tenant, you know, those in charge of caring for the vineyard, and they went to another country. And when the harvest time came, he sent his slaves to the tenant to collect the produce, but the tenant seized the slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent more slaves, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants saw the son, and they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. So Jesus asks, now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? And the crowd says, he will put those wretches into a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce in the harvest time. This parable, which harkens back to that Isaiah depiction of the vineyard, is riddled with rotten and wild images. Amen. And motivated by insecurity, fear, greed, and selfishness, there is much rottenness and wildness. There is injustice and violence in the actions of the tenants just for the first place from refusing to fulfill their commitments. And then the gross and escalating images of violence towards the slaves, representing the prophets of old, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Habakkuk. And the foreshadowing of the death of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. As Jesus often warns us, we must be careful. As Jesus offers warning and correction to the chief priests and the Pharisees, we must be careful not to dismiss this warning and correction. It is also, church, being offered to us. Amen. In a Christian tradition, a Reformed tradition, where we proclaim and celebrate the priesthood of all believers, this message is for us as well. We are the new tenants expected to care for the vineyard, called to care for the community of faith and care for God's world. And as we gather around this table of grace, which today unfolds around the world and back again, we must be aware of the temptations of violence or injustice, or the temptation, the ever so deep temptation, to just be silent. Lest we too stumble and are crushed under the weight of it all. It won't be easy, amen, but it will be worth it. When you work for justice, peace, healing, and love, you set yourself up for rejection and even violence. But I find it amazingly gracious that in the face of our daily struggles with injustice and violence, we are offered words from Jesus that can be a source of healing and hope and rejuvenation and faith in verse 42, where Jesus says, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." This is the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Let's say that again, Lord. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and this is the Lord's doing, and it is amazing. Amazing in our eyes. Jesus interpreted the scripture of the prophet to teach us about ourselves. Without the cornerstone, we are bound to be rotten and wild. But as we view the world in light of the cornerstone, the one that was rejected by the world for the sake of the world, we are to be amazed. you, Providence Presbyterian Church, must view everything in light of the cornerstone, because in light of the cornerstone, the first will be last, and the last will be first. In light of the cornerstone, death, injustice, and violence do not win. In light of the cornerstone, God is present in the midst of it all, hearing the cries of the oppressed and making a way out of no way. So when we ask as Christians, what do we do in light of the wildness and the rottenness of our local communities and our global community, we must listen to Christ for our identity, to the cornerstone for our identity. We must gather for worship and proclaim the good news of the cornerstone in the midst of it all. And we must gather together at the table and celebrate the cornerstone who provides it all. The bread of life, and the sweet, good fruit of the vineyard. We must live out our calling to be cornerstoned people, faithful in our words and just in our deeds. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray it all. Amen.
I'd like to invite Phil Chan up to share a brief moment for mission about his upcoming trip to Ethiopia.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be giving the moment for missions today. For those who may be visiting, my name is Phil Chan. I'm one of the HIV docs at Brown University, also Mary and Rhode Island Hospital. I want to start off by giving a big thanks for all that participated in the AIDS Walk last weekend. We had a great turnout. It's a beautiful day. There are a number of you from the congregation who came, so thank you so much. We had a good turnout from the politicians. There's David Cicilline and Gina Raimondo up there. We are working here in Rhode Island to get to zero new cases of HIV. We have a very robust public health system here in Rhode Island, so it's something that we're working towards is actually have zero new cases of HIV a year. And so from the local arena to the international arena, I just wanted to give an update that I will be going to Ethiopia on Friday of this week. I'll be going with an organization known as AIDS Care and Treatment Ethiopia. Next slide. It's led by this gentleman, Andy Warren, there. This was the same group I went with last year. This is the second year that I'm going. They're basically a case management organization on the ground in Ethiopia, and they've been there for over 10 years. So what does that mean? It means they provide a lot of support services for people living with HIV in Ethiopia, specifically Addis Ababa, which is the capital. They'll do things like transportation, making sure people keep doctor's appointments. They'll also take care of the families of people living with HIV. So they'll send their kids to school. If they can't afford it, they'll pay for it. They'll pay for books, et cetera, and they're just sort of a general support organization. About 9 or 10 times a year, they have doctors who fly into Ethiopia. So I'm actually going with City Life up in Boston as part of their team, and we'll actually be seeing patients. And frankly, I work when I'm there. We'll be seeing patients all day from about 9 to 5 p.m., and frankly, I'll see more patients there than I do here in my own clinic. Next slide. So this is, I just wanted to show, to give a little geography. So Ebola is on the western coast of Africa, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, Nigeria. Ethiopia, if you look on the, is in eastern Africa. So if you look on the right-hand side of Africa, there's that big sharp point country, that is Somalia, and then Ethiopia is directly to the left of that. So I am on the other side, so hopefully won't be seeing too much Ebola. Next slide. This was the group that I went with last year. Heidi, who's standing next to me, used to be a member here. She is not going this year, but hopefully we'll be going next year. And I just ask for prayers from everyone, for both myself and my family as I leave them for a week, but also prayers that for safe travels as well as for the work that we're doing there. So thank you very much.
God, as we let us continue to worship God as we bring forth our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these gifts we bring to you this morning. We dedicate the Presbyterian peacemaking offering and all that we offer today, that they may further your will and your works here in our church and in the world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
And so come, you from east and you from the west, from the north and from the south, come, come with your doubts, come with your hopes, come with your inadequacies, with your strengths. Come, for this is a table where all are invited and all are welcome.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord. It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right, good and joyful, to give thanks to you in every place and in every moment. You, O God, created the world, you full of beauty and abundance. And you formed us in your image, filling us with your breath of life, so we might experience the joys of being in relationship with you and with one another. When our love one another falls short, and when our world is broken apart by mistrust and fear, you still love us. Through your prophets, you give us hope in the promise of a world that is united in love and service. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Holy are you in the highest. Holy child, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived among us, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived among us and showed us your love, caring enough to feed hungry persons, stopping to touch persons in need of healing, reaching out to those not like himself. A Samaritan woman at the well, lepers from another country, those tortured by demons, a father pleading for his daughter, a woman from Syrophoenicia, Zacchaeus the tax collector, a young ruler and a humble fisherman. When people gathered to hear his teachings, Jesus broke bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them so that they might be fed.
When Jesus ate with his disciples for his final meal on earth, they remembered his blessing on the multitude and listened as he told them, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. They watched as Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and said, Take, drink, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the whole world for the forgiveness. After his death and resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples told others through this meal that Jesus was the Messiah, sent by God for all humankind.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit, Holy Spirit, on this cup and this bread,
so that we, as we share them, we may experience the power of Christ, the power able to make us his body. Here is in this communion of faith and with others throughout the world. At this table of grace, may we know what it means to be united in love, mission, and ministry until that glorious day when all barriers will be broken and your love will reign in every heart forever.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are formed into one body, the body of Christ for us and the world.
continuing up, we recognize the continuing presence and promise of Christ for us and for the world. The blood of Christ. Amen. Covenant. Amen.
All blessings, we thank you for the
O Lord our God, we glorious handwork, earth which proclaims your glorious graces. Jesus Christ, you come from you. All blessings come. O Lord our God, we thank you for all the nations of your people who display your love. As Christ Jesus, you are gracious. Peace. Christ Jesus, you are from you. Let all blessings come and guide us. In green path, shepherd, lead and guide us. In right paths and through with you in glory. Until we feast with your house forever and dwell in your house forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our mission for today, our benediction, but true. Be simple but true. Cornerstoned, be who you are. Cornerstone to live empowered, to live faithfully and peace. To just go. Amen. Let us.